You're listening to the Passion Church Podcast. We believe that today's message will help you thrive in your relationship with Jesus as you follow Him. We'll be back after the podcast with more information. And now, today's message from Pastor Aaron Kozlowski, right here at Passion Church.
Who's going to share? If you didn't get to listen to Renew Your Mind last week, it was really powerful. I encourage you to listen to Renew Your Mind. But today he's going to share on Renewing Your Mind Part 2. So stay tuned.
Thanks, honey. Did you see that? There was no hug involved. We were social distancing. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here with us today. I'm just going to scooch this back a little. We're just so honored that you've welcomed us into your home today, and we're going to pray and get right into the word this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone watching, wherever they may be, from home, from their bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, wherever they may be, God, I thank you for your presence dwelling there with them. I thank you that your peace would flood their hearts, would flood their minds, would flood their homes in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for your goodness and your faithfulness. So much. We are grateful for who you are and your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Sorry, one second here. So last week, we began the message, Renewing Your Mind, and I'm going to just very briefly recap before we get into some new territory today. I'm not going to keep you too long today, but just This picture, I hope you can see it, is a flower, and it looks beautiful, but it's actually a flower right outside my front door. And this week, this flower showed, like popped through around Monday, and man, it was a word in season for me, because I walked out of my front door, and I see this flower sticking up in the ground, and it hadn't bloomed yet. It was still closed, and I was like, oh. There's new life. There's new life in this season. There's new life in the middle of all that's going around us. There's new life. And so this picture is yesterday. It had opened up and it was just beautiful. And again, a reminder that spring is here, but not just spring. I believe it's a prophetic word for me. I mean, it was the only flower anywhere and it was right in front of my front door. And just that God is bringing new life in the middle of this darkness. Like we sang tonight, this morning, God of revival, light it up. That we are, the stage is set for us to shine brightly and shine forth his glory. Amen. So let's just recap and then we're gonna get into today. Number one, you are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. Your spirit is recreated instantly once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but your soul must be renewed and your body crucified. You got to put your flesh under. We don't give our body or our flesh, our sinful nature more appropriately, the right to choose. It just doesn't exist. It's not allowed. In that, though, our minds and our will and our emotions, just because we got born again, just because we've received Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that instantaneously we began to think new thoughts. It doesn't mean that instantaneously we all of a sudden have a brand new way of thinking. Matter of fact, we need to train ourselves in righteousness. We need to renew our mind, and we need to take our thoughts captive. And so we talked about last week how when we used to live next door, we had a snowfall that was really deep, and I was going trudging through the snow, and the kids tried to follow me, and they couldn't, because they kept, you know, it was a mess. Snow was going up their pant legs. It was terrible. But as I went back and forth and deepened and widened that trench or that rut that they could walk in, then all of a sudden the path was easy for them to walk behind me. And so our thoughts are very much the same way. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that you have created the right new paths for your thinking. We have to create new paths for our thought processes. Okay, we talked about, like we just said, just because you're free doesn't mean you automatically can think free. And the Israelites were a great example of that. The Israelites got out of Egypt. They were finally free, and they wanted to go back because they missed the fish and the garlic. They had a hard time separating themselves from what was and separating themselves from their old lives. Man, slavery is not worth fish and garlic, but they were emotionally and mentally attached still to that old life, to more appropriately that old habit and that old way of thinking. We want to break free from that. Amen. So Joshua 1:5, so God sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and 10 of them came back with a horrible report. They said, yes, everything that God wants to give us is wonderful, but the giants are too big. We can't do it. And so this is later than after that, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, because God said, if you can't believe me to come into the promised land, then you're right. You can't. And so the only two people and their families that got to go into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb, because they had a different spirit. And so Moses passes away, and this is God's conversation with Joshua. Says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We need to learn to meditate on the word of God. Meditating isn't just reading it. Meditating isn't just thinking about it. Meditating it literally means to constantly mutter to yourself, to mull over it, to chew on it, to speak it over yourself constantly. All day long. Matter of fact, he specifically says day and night, so that you can be careful to do everything written in it, but then so that you can have successful prosperity. Sounds good. I want to be prosperous and successful. But you know what? That comes out of God's word. It comes out of renewing my mind. I can't think old thoughts and still have a new life. Because my thoughts are going to direct my attitudes and my choices. If I'm full of fear, I'm going to react out of that fear. Yeah. If I'm full of faith, I'm also going to react out of that faith. All right? So moving right along here. This is the next verse, God speaking to Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. That's a great word for today. Amen. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Our mind has to be renewed. Romans 12:2, this is where we ended last week, says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? This is how our lives are transformed, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Transformation doesn't take place just by moving. Transformation doesn't take place when everything on the outside is finally okay. Transformation will take place when we renew our mind, so that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. All right. So in 1 Timothy 4:7, says this. It says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Okay, this could be so true today over social media, but that's not where we're going today. Instead, I really want to just focus on this one part of the verse. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Godliness does not happen accidentally. Godliness does not happen just because you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're on your way to heaven. Godliness takes place when we train ourselves to be godly. It's everything about that says purposeful action. It's not accidental. It's purposeful. It's on purpose. It is deliberate to train yourself to be godly. You know what? It takes deliberate action to train yourself to think new thoughts, to take old habits and to turn from those old habits and to go in a new direction, to think new thoughts. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, says this, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, listen to this, leads to death. But there's a but here. It's not the end of the thought. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I don't want death. I want life and peace. And this verse gives us a huge ingredient and clue as to how to do that. Letting your sinful nature, verse 6, control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Lord, teach us to let you control our minds. Holy Spirit, control the thoughts. Help us to control our own thoughts, God. We thank you. We want life and peace. Lord, if there are ways that we have let our sinful nature control our thought patterns, God, forgive us. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You know, and before I continue on, you're probably going to need, I don't know how well you can see that up there, but make sure that you're tuning, that you're opening your Bible right along with us. I know when you're all here in the pews, it's easy to read along on the screen, but I want to encourage you, open your Bible. Get in the Word of God for yourself on a daily basis. All right, so that was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. That's great. God's weapons for us are mighty. They're not weak. They're not subpar. They are mighty. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where does knowledge take place? In your mind. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, from a personal point of view, there have been a countless number of ungodly thoughts that have come as darts to my head, my thoughts, in the past couple weeks. And every time I have to choose to take those thoughts into captivity, it will not happen naturally. It will not happen on its own. Maybe you're in a place where you've lost a job or you don't know how you're just gonna pay your bills. In those moments, take those thoughts captive and feast on God's faithfulness to you. Feast on who he is. Feast on his provision. He has promised to provide for all of our needs, not according to our ability, but according to his riches in glory. Feast on his faithfulness in those moments. So bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do I do that? Very simply, I recognize it and I grab it. That's it. I recognize it and I grab it. If there's a thought, like especially when you get that little tickle in your throat and you cough once and all of a sudden there's that thought in the back of your head going, oh no, what is this? That's the moment. Don't let that linger. That's the moment to grab that thought. And that moment I say, no, by his stripes I am healed. I grab first, I recognize it, I grab it. Don't let it, I take it captive. I stick that thing in thought jail. It's captivity. I take my thoughts captive and say, no, by his stripes, I am healed. So what do I do next? Number three, I take the truth of God's word and I directly counteract that thought with God's truth. You know, When I think of this word strongholds, I had a picture. Now we know that a stronghold could be a fortress or a high tower or anything along those lines. But for today, I had this thought of a stronghold being like the front lines of a battle. Like when there are military personnel in the trenches, literally, they dig trenches and they take territory. So they move forward by digging trenches and taking territory. And I thought about this, that God, our warfare is mighty for pulling down strongholds. I thought about how when things are entrenched, they are mighty. They are hard to overcome, except for God. Except for God. Except for God. Because our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are mighty. In a military battle, it's a good idea. However, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Amen. And I thought about those trenches and how as the military personnel are encamped in the trenches, I thought about how that's not too far off from the thoughts in our own minds. That just like that path in the snow for my kids, we have to make new trenches. We have to fill in the old trenches and begin to make new trenches for our thought processes so that the enemy can no longer take that territory. So what are the thoughts that you're going to think? Godly thoughts. What does God say about you? What does he say about your situation? What is he declaring over you in this moment? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We've gone over this passage in the last couple weeks, but it is so important for today. In Philippians 4, verse 6, what are you going to do? You're going to talk to God. You're going to talk to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. After you've done that, and the peace of God, verse 7, which transcends all understanding. Amen. I need peace in this season that goes beyond what I understand. Because everything I understand in the natural is not happy. However, his word is truth. And when I stand on his truth, when I simply do this, when I, through prayer and petition, make my requests known to God, when I talk to God about the things that are bothering me, anything, everything. Hey, God, this is bugging me. Hey, God, this thought keeps swirling around. When I just, the darkness cannot exist when you turn on the light. Amen. Simple as that. We've got to turn on the light. And so instead of keeping that stuff in, talk to God. Make your requests and petitions known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In this season, we all need a tiny army around our heads and our hearts, like guards. That's just what I picture. When I read this verse, I imagine the peace of God just surrounding my heart and my mind like a guard, like a little battalion around my heart and my mind. That is so good. Verse 8, finally, brothers, okay, so then he goes on. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, true enough, true isn't good enough. There's a whole other list of qualifications for what we're to think about. Ready? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, that's only the first one, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There's our instructions for keeping peace in this season. whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I pray right now in your home that the God of peace will be with you. Right where you're sitting or standing, the God of peace will be with you. In Romans chapter 8, actually John chapter 2, I want to, in these next few minutes, talk about how Jesus dealt with bad news and misinformation. Okay? How Jesus dealt with bad news and misinformation. And when I say misinformation, I'm not just talking about, fake news. That's not what I'm saying when misinformation. I'm not just talking about when your friend on social media exaggerates things out of control and fear has gripped you. That's not what I'm talking about, misinformation, although partially. I'm specifically talking about misinformation is when we take things as they are in the natural, and we allow that to supersede what God is saying about the situation or the moment. That anything that is contrary to what God is saying and doing is misinformation. And we're gonna dig into this. I just have three brief stories about how Jesus dealt with bad news and misinformation, all right? So in John chapter 2, verse 1, we have this story. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, Jesus' first miracle. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, it's gone, okay? Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." This is a very real fear right now in this season. But what if I don't have any more? Jesus dealt with it. All right, let's see how he did. "Dear woman," verse 4, "why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Can I just say to you, do whatever he tells you. As a sheep of God, yeah, you hear his voice, and the voice of another you do not listen to. Yeah. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another I do not listen to." All right? So do whatever he tells you. Mary's words here still ring true today. Verse 6. "Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim." See, this is the point where you would probably look at your fellow servant and go, "Why are we filling these with water? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? This isn't going to help. Why can't he do something that's actually going to help?" These are all the kinds of thoughts that we go through on a daily, normal basis. But may I again remind us what Mary said, do whatever he tells you. All right, let's continue. "Fill the water," so they filled them to the brim. Verse 8, "then he told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.'" So they took out what? Water. "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, verse 9, "and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine." When did it happen? Don't know. Somewhere between filling them the barrels or with water and taking it to the master of the banquet, it had become wine. We don't know exactly when. Pretty amazing. He did not realize where it had come from. Whew. "Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now.' This was the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This phrase just keeps just rising up in my spirit. They have no more. They have no more. What did Mary say to the servants? Do whatever he tells you. You don't have to fear having no more. God is your provision. God is your source. He is. See, and here's the best part. Is this wasn't cheap wine. This wasn't a subpar miracle. This wasn't a miracle just to get them by. Jesus gave them the best. The wine that he gave them was better than what they could have bought for themselves. And I think that's important in this season for us to put our faith in him, all right? So the first situation and how Jesus dealt with it is not enough. When there's not enough, do whatever he tells you. You may say that today, well, I'm not Jesus. That's true. However, you can still do whatever he tells you, period. He is good. He is faithful. In Luke chapter 4, we have our second story. When Jesus had just been anointed. He just got baptized, was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and went out into the wilderness all by his lonesome to fast. You know, I don't mind fasting. I don't think fasting in the wilderness would be my preference. But sure enough, Jesus led him. I mean, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And you know what? He was safe. I think it's important that we grasp that before we move on, that Jesus was safe in the middle of temptation, in the middle of the desert, in the middle of not having food, he was still safe. I think that's important for us to grab today. All right, so in Luke chapter 4, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." Right away, Jesus uses the scripture. He is tempted with thoughts, with this, "If you are the Son of God." You know what? This wasn't just attacking this wasn't just a temptation on his life, because if after 40 days, if he had eaten bread, it wouldn't have gone well for him. But this is a temptation on who he is. If you are the Son of God, it is so important that we know who we are. We are children of God. All right, we're not going to read the whole story today. I want to encourage you this week. You can delve into this full story in Luke chapter 4. I'm just going to read his next two replies. To every temptation that the devil brought his way, he came back with the same reply. Ready? So verse 4, we just read, but Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." Verse 8, Jesus replied again, "The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then again in verse 12, Jesus responded, "The scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. In each of these situations, every time Jesus was tempted, he used the word of God. He did not say, "Oh, maybe, okay, let me think about that." No, he instantaneously shut the enemy down, shut the lies down, and used the word of God to do it. The word is a sword. We talked about this past Wednesday. The word of God is a mighty sword in your mouth. It's ironic that a sword is not held in your hand when it's the word of God. The word of God is a sword from your mouth. And it is so crucial to use the word of God. You know, in a time of war, you can't wait for the war to begin training. In a time of war, there's this temptation and there's this reality in the natural that, you know, you may say, well, I don't know the scripture well enough. I don't know Bible verses. I don't know that I could bring out the word of God like that to defeat every thought. I want you to know, God says it's not too late. It's not too late. In the natural, it would seem like once the war has begun, it's too late to begin training. Not with God. It's never too late. It is never too late. You are not too late. Open up the word of God. Begin to read it. Begin to memorize what God says about you. It is not too late. It is a wonderful time. It's a perfect moment to grab the Bible, to begin studying for yourself. When I was 18, my parents had moved down to the Carolinas for an extended period of time because my dad got a short-term job. And when they had gone, I was going to visit them. And so I was in the car and I was driving. I lived in Michigan at the time, and I drove from Michigan to the Carolinas, and it took like 13 hours. And I was so tired towards the end of the trip. It was around 2 a.m., I think, and I was like just nodding off. I kept nodding off, nodding off, and nodding off. And so I got out of the car and I ran around the car a couple times because I was only 7 miles from my destination. And I was like, oh, I can do this. I can, you know, I'm so close. I've been in the car for 13 hours. I only have 7 more miles to go. I can do this. And so I didn't. I ran around the car and I got back in the car. I forgot to put my seatbelt on. And I fell asleep at the wheel. I was doing about 50 to 60 miles an hour, and I slid off the road. It was 2 a.m., and so the dew was on the road, and it was just like ice. As soon as I hit the grass, I lost all traction, and I slammed right into a tree. And I was turning the wheel, trying to turn, and the moment before I hit that tree, I heard the Holy Spirit as loud as I've ever heard in my entire life. I can't say that it was audible, but it might have been. And he just simply said, I'm not done with you yet. And I slammed into that tree. I broke my nose, my back of my head broke out the windshield. I hit the steering column so hard that the entire I hit the steering wheel so hard that the entire dashboard was pushed out, and the steering wheel was pushed up towards the windshield. Why do I say that? Because in these moments, the most important thing you can possibly do is hold on to the word of the Lord for your life. Hold on to what God is saying to you about your future, about your life. And that's gonna come through relationship. And he wants you to know it's not too late. It's not too late to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe your relationship with him has waned. It isn't what it should be. It's not too late. It's not too late. He's calling to you today to reestablish relationship with him today. So after the accident, I don't know if I was passed out. No one was there. It was 2 a.m. in the middle of a backcountry road. And so as soon as I opened my eyes, I remember specifically opened my eyes. My whole shirt was bloody because I'd broken my nose. I just got out of the car and hobbled down the road because this is before cell phones. someone picked me up and took me to the gas station where I called home, or I actually called my parents in the Carolinas. But I say that because of number one, hold on to the word of God for your life in that moment. Man, as crazy as it was, I had such peace. As like this intense fear tried to rise up, and I remember the thoughts. I mean, it's amazing when you think you're about to die the thoughts that run through your head at so rapid speed. And the word of the Lord in that moment to me calmed my fears, calmed everything. And so, but see, then that wasn't the end of the story. I had to drive again because I had to make it home. And I can remember my parents making me drive. And I remember the fear in my heart. It's like, no, I can't do this. This is too hard. And my parents made me drive like the very next day. It was the last thing I wanted to do, but I did. You know what? I had to drive home. And because they broke that fear at that moment, I was able to drive all the way home with no problems, no challenges whatsoever. You know what? When God brings us through, there's a life to be lived. It's not just about us. It's for our future, for our posterity, for everyone having to do with us. And you know what? God has his eyes on you. One last story, and we're going to close. So the first way that Jesus dealt with, he dealt with the lie of there's not enough. The second way today is that lies that sound like truth. The enemy would love to come at you with lies, but we need to combat that with the word of God, with his truth. The third is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. The title of this passage is Jesus Heals in Response to Faith. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And I encourage you to, I encourage you to open up the word and read the story for yourself, because inserted here is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. We don't have time for that today. It's an amazing story how on the way to heal someone else, Jesus heals this woman. But so continuing on in verse 49, while he was still speaking to her, this is the woman with the issue of blood, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, okay, here's the bad news. He told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. He can feel like in that moment that it's too late. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew that she had died. My question for you today is, what do you know? Yeah. What do you know? What do the people around you know? What does the news know? What do the voices that have influence in your life know? Okay? This speaks to that. But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand, verse 54, and said in a loud voice, my child, get up. At that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told him to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. This is a good kind of overwhelmed. But there's two important things here. Number one, Jesus said to Jairus, in the middle of the bad news, in the middle of this announcement that exactly what he didn't want to happen, that he was there to talk to Jesus to prevent the very thing that he didn't want to happen. And these messengers came to tell him that the thing that he didn't want to happen had just happened. Talk about bad news. And this is Jesus's word to Jairus, and it is his word for you today. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. This is no time, no season to let go of God. This is the time to hold on to him with everything you have. More than your ability to prep, more than your ability to social distance, more than your ability to feed your family or keep yourself safe, hold on to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. And the second is this, verse 53, but the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. So what does Jesus do in the middle of bad news? He speaks life in the middle of bad news. Jairus' job, this was his job. His job wasn't to perform the miracle. His job was to believe and not be afraid. That's our job too, to believe and not be afraid. I want you to know today that it's not too late. I just keep hearing that over and over in my spirit, that it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to have a relationship with God. It's not too late to open up the word of God and begin memorizing it so that the sword of God, the word of God as your sword, can come out of your mouth. It's not too late. If you have never begun a relationship with God, it's not too late. Today is a great day to start. I want to pray for you. It's not too late today. It's not too late today. Maybe you're watching and you've been far from God. Maybe you're watching and you're not far from God, but you feel so ill-prepared for what's going on in the world around you. Maybe you've had maybe you've had horrible news come your way, maybe to yourself or your family. It's not too late. It's not too late. Number one, be mindful of what you know. Know that God is faithful. Know that he is more than enough. Know that he is everything you need in this season. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want you to repeat with your own lips. I'm going to give you a space after I pray where you can repeat me and pray with me. Say, Father God, I receive you as Lord and Savior. You are my God. You haven't always been, but in this moment, I choose to put my faith and my trust in you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins. I believe that Jesus is enough, that the price he paid was enough, and I put my faith in him. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse my mind. God, I want your peace. I thank you for reuniting me with yourself, adopting me as your child. I am yours, and I trust my life to you. God, you're big enough to take care of this life, and I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said, amen. Man, God bless you. God keep you. If you just made that decision, maybe you've come back to God this morning. Maybe you've made that decision to give your life to God for the first time ever. You've never had a relationship with God. Whatever it is, would you either message us on Facebook as you're watching right now, or you can email us at contact@passionchurches.com. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you any way we can. Thank you for being here today. thank you. God bless you. Wednesday night, again, we'll be streaming online, and we look forward to meeting with you again. God bless you and keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We believe you can have a part in what God is doing through Passion Church. Your generosity helps us make a difference in the lives of those who are touched by the ministry here. Visit PassionChurches.com or simply text the word PassionNJ to 77977 and follow the links to give. Text and data rates may apply. If you have any questions or feedback that you'd like to share with us, everything you need can be found at PassionChurches.com. We can't wait to hear from you. On our website, you can download our app, connect with us on social media, and check out all that's happening here at the church. Again, thank you for listening right here at Passion Church.